In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance Family Conversation. And as always, it's great to be with all of you. Great to be with you. So, on this Feast Day of Mary, we actually celebrate Feast Day of Mary on November 21st, and it's the presentation of Mary in the temple. We'll be talking about that, the presentation of Mary in the temple. So, of course, we'd like to start off our conversation by inviting Mary to be with us. Mary to be with us. So, Mary has many titles. Mary is the Mother of God. Mary is the Mother of the Church. And Mary is the Mother of each and every one of us. In the Hail Holy Queen, we invoke Mary as our life, our sweetness, and our hope. So let's invite Mary to be with us, to pray for us and to pray with us and to be with us. As we say the beautiful Marian prayer, the prayer that she loves most, it's the Hail Mary. Together. Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now let's turn to our spiritual director, our spiritual guide, and ask our spiritual guide to help us. Our spiritual guide is the Holy Spirit. And what a great blessing it is to have the Holy Spirit as our spiritual guide. As our spiritual guide. As our spiritual guide. The Holy Spirit has many, many titles. One title would be the following. He is the Paraclete. He's also known as the Gift of Gifts. He's also known as the Sweet Guest of Our Souls. The Holy Spirit is also known as the Sanctifier. In his relationship to Mary, Mary is the Mother of God, Mary is the Mother of the Church, and Mary is the Mother of each and every one of us. But Mary is the Daughter of God the Father, she's the Mother of God the Son, and Mary is the mystical spouse of the Holy Spirit. She is the mystical spouse of the Holy Spirit. So I'd like to ask the Holy Spirit to be with us, to enlighten our minds, and to set our hearts on fire with the love of God. Let's pray the classical prayer of the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. And thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us that by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Mary, Mother of God, Mother of the Church, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael the Archangel, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. So, my friends, it's so true that the family that prays together stays together. Family that prays together stays together. And a world at prayer is a world at peace. A world at prayer is a world at peace. So I'd like to continue on the theme of prayer, and I'll be praying for you in my Mass tonight, in which we honor the presentation of Mary in the temple. Of course, my friends, there's no greater prayer in the world. No greater prayer in the world than the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Holy sacrifice of the Mass. So in the holy sacrifice of the Mass, my friends, I'd like to place you on the altar. Place you on the altar. With these intentions. In honor of Mary and her relationship to the Holy Spirit. I'd like to pray that all of us would be open to the Holy Spirit. That's right, to be open to the Holy Spirit and His heavenly inspirations. May this prayer be our prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come to the heart of Mary. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come to the heart of Mary. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. My second intention will be that all of us would take seriously our formation in the knowledge of our faith, that we would make a real concerted effort every day to get to know our faith better. Of course, none of us can give what we don't have. We want to receive and then give. St. Thomas Aquinas said, allow God to shine upon us, then we can shine upon others. Allow the light of the Lord's face to shine us by studying and learning, then we can shine upon others. My third intention will be, I'd like to pray, as always, for the conversion of sinners and the salvation of sinners. Let's place these on the altar, especially the individuals who will be dying sometime during the course of the day and they're not well prepared. Quite the contrary, that they're possibly living in mortal sin. We know that that's the worst tragedy. The book of Apocalypse calls, speaking about the second death. The first death is mortal sin. And the second would be to die in mortal sin. That we don't want. That we don't want. So those will be my intentions in my Mass today, as we honor the Blessed Virgin Mary in her presentation in the temple. My friends, before entering to the topic of the presentation of the Virgin Mary in heaven, I'd like to just say a couple of things. And the first thing I'd like to say is I'd like to thank God, thank Mary, especially for my new book was issued a few weeks ago. It's called Compendium of Marian Devotions by 10 publishers. Yesterday, I started a formal course on my new book. And the old church was packed. Many, many people responded to this. Even those who did not show up the first time, they can come next Sunday. And also, I was able to live stream this, so my talk was actually being live streamed. But if you could come in person, so much the better. Just a lot of joy. And yesterday spoke about the whole origin of this book. How it came about, the evolution of it, the obstacles that it had, its publication, and now its diffusion. Then I spoke about Mary, the greatness of Mary, how Mary brings us to Christ. And I spoke about, in a certain sense, about my literary career, how I started writing. This is actually my fourth book, From Humdrum to Holy, Consecration to Jesus through Mary and the Mysteries of the Rosary and the Seven Sorrows, Roadmap to Heaven, and this would be my fourth. Now, I also have Pray for Me. I have others in the making. It's a matter of working this through with the 10 publishers. I've got others in the pipeline. So pray that I'll be able to keep writing these books. And my purpose is not my own self-aggrandizement. My purpose is to glorify God, as well as to save souls. And the way in which you're going to be glorifying God is to collaborate with God to help to save souls. John Paul II said, we're all called to be little co-redemptrixes. We're all called to collaborate with God, to fill up what is lacking in the passion of Christ, as St. Paul says, to bring others to Christ. So if you'd like to join, it's like, in a certain sense, it's like a Marian Advent retreat. It's really, really, really what it is. It's like a Marian Advent retreat. A Marian Advent retreat. A Marian Advent retreat. And this is the protocol. You have to have the book, though. And it's a little bit pricey. It's $60. We had one of our problems yesterday is that all the books were sold out. They're really flying off the shelf like hotcakes. So maybe call an order from 10 publishers today, your own copy. And I would suggest buy two or more. One woman that's already bought 30. Another one bought the same, maybe more, my mother. But they're flying off the shelves. So you have to have the text. You have to have the text. The second is I've set up a method that hopefully you'll be able to get involved in. The method is very simple. I call it a tripod protocol or tripod method. So there are three basic practices to implement our program. And the first would be to come to the lecture. So we have the church full. And then others were following me online because it's good to come to the lecture to give us an orientation. The second part of our protocol, is the daily reading of the text. But it's not simply a perusal or a kind of a leisurely reading, but rather it's a type of prayer. And I suggest it as a method to be able to pray well with this text. It's a suggestion of Pope Benedict XVI. Pope Benedict XVI, in his pontificate, he wrote, I think it's an apostolic exhortation, or maybe even encyclical, I have to check it out. It's called Verbum Domine, which means the Word of God. In this, Pope Benedict XVI strongly exhorts all of us to get in the habit of reading and meditating upon the Word of God, the riches of the Word of God. In that writing of Pope Benedict XVI, he offers to us steps on how we can pray to God by using sacred scripture, utilizing the classical means of prayer, and it's called Lectio Divina. And he gives these following steps. In the past, maybe a couple of years ago, I've actually gone through this, but I'll refresh your memory. And it's Lectio. Meditatio. Contemplatio. Oratio, Iaxio. That's right. I'll repeat. Lectio, Meditatio, Contemplatio, Oratio, and Axio. So we see Alexio with the textbook to read a chapter a day. So you've got 32 chapters, read a chapter a day for a month. Read a chapter a day for a month. That's the lectio. Then meditatio is, meditatio means you're meditating. You're reading, but like Mary, you're pondering. We have from sacred scripture two times that Mary pondered these events in her heart. We have Mary pondering when the shepherds come to visit. Technical word in Greek would be to ruminate. Ruminate would be like chewing the cud like a cow. Second time is after Jesus is lost in the temple. Mary says, why have you done this to us? Because your father and I have been searching for you in silence, in suffering rather. He said, why were you looking for me? Did you not know that had to be about my father's business? They did not understand these words. And then Jesus went down with them, was subject to them, and he grew in wisdom, age, and grace before God and man. Scripture says Mary, for her part, she pondered these events in her heart. So in honor of Mary and this course and her feast day, we want to imitate Mary by pondering by pondering, meditating, ruminating upon the Word of God in our hearts. So, every day during this course, here I have before you the table of contents. I think maybe you can see it. I try to get as close as possible. It's difficult to... But anyway... tried to do the best I could. The table of contents has 32 chapters. 32 chapters. So the course is developed and such. We've got 5 weeks. So 5 times 7 would be 35. So a couple of days you'll actually be reading 2 of the chapters. The chapters, most chapters are 3 to 4 pages. 3 to 4 pages. What also helps in this Lectio Divina is the beautiful artwork that we have here on the Blessed Mother. Beautiful depictions of Mary. This is one of my favorites. Yes, you can see that beautiful artwork. You see Mary. There you see Mary. Exactly what I said. Mary. She's queen. You see, Mary has the book, the Word of God open. Mary's reading and she's meditating. There we have it. Mary's reading and meditating upon the Word of God. She's our model. Following that is my chapter. You can see the 10 virtues of Mary. So I did in this chapter, I took this from True Devotion to Mary of St. Louis de Montfort, in which he mentions the 10 virtues of Mary. He just mentions them. So what I did was I took those 10 virtues of Mary and I developed those 10 virtues of Mary. I explained each and every one of them. For example, Mary's charity, purity, humility, mortification, her sweetness, her patience, her obedience, her mortification, all these beautiful virtues that Mary practiced. And she invites us to practice these virtues so we can follow her and follow her son all the more. So in your reflection, in your Lectio Divina, take advantage of the splendid, superb, exquisite artwork that is in the book, so as to help you to enter into this colloquy, this dialogue, this union with Mary. In the third part of the program that we set up, is the sharing protocol. Now this is really important. So after the talk, we break up into groups, and yesterday we broke up into groups in a very informal way. We had the people go outside, and thanks be to God for Southern California, because you probably know there in upstate New York, they got about 3 feet of snow. We're not going to be getting a 3 feet of snow in Southern California, in L.A. Probably not. So they're able to break up into various groups, and with a facilitator, with a facilitator, with a facilitator, each one is invited to talk about Mary. So you might say, well, Father, yesterday was the beginning of your course. What are you going to talk about if they haven't done any reading yet? Good question. And we're able to put together a couple of questions. So me and Mary Martirano, we were able to put together a couple of questions. And the questions were, I said, well, who is Mary for you? And second, what do you hope to get out of this course? Who is Mary for you? And I like to give the image of concept in physics, and it's called refraction. And the idea I gave was you take a diamond, a big diamond, and you expose that diamond to the light of the sun. What's going to happen is the light of the sun is going to be going through that diamond, and it's going to be like, you'll see somewhat like a rainbow of different colors, these beautiful colors. So Mary's like this beautiful diamond, and the different colors are manifesting the different names as well as virtues of Mary. So ask them, who is Mary for you, or what Marian title seems to captivate you most? For example, someone could have said Stella Maris, Mary is the star of the sea in the midst of the tempest or torments that we're experiencing in our political arena, our social life, our academic life, even within the church. So by this sharing, each one who's sharing is enriching the others, because God speaks to us all in different ways. Variety is the spice of life, even in the spiritual life. Variety is the spice of life, even in the spiritual life. Then they made another suggestion. Another suggestion to really enrich our new program is the following, that the adults that are doing this course, most of them are adults, even we have maybe a couple of teenager confirmation students, would be, I invite all of you to do your reading like a holy hour, even though maybe you don't get the whole the whole hour in, but if you can't, so much the better. And after you finish your reflection, write down what seemed to touch you. Whoever had this thought a couple of days ago, well, why not try to transform this into a family activity in which we're preparing families for the celebration of Christmas. Instead of the Black Friday mentality, Christmas is simply a materialistic feast day. Why don't we try to really live out Christmas to the fullest extent possible? The meaning for the season is the person of Christ. That's right. The meaning for the season. The meaning for the season. The meaning for the season is the person of Christ. Is the person of Christ. Is the person of Christ. So it would be like this. So you who are following me now, you can maybe even start today, which is because the course I started was just about 18 hours ago. I say fresh off the press. So what you can do is, I would suggest maybe right before dinner, or become after dinner, or before you go to bed, take my book with a beautiful image of Mary, maybe light a candle or two. Some family member can read the chapter, or maybe if it's four pages, you can, four members in the family, each one can read a page. You can read through it. Then afterward, maybe 2 or 3 minutes of silent reflection. And say, for example, mom, dad, your daughter and son, then each one can share, maybe just for 2 minutes, share. What idea in that chapter really seemed to captivate you? If you want to develop a little bit more, all of you can maybe have a notebook in which you're writing down which of the ideas in that chapter seem to grab you most, to captivate you most. My friends, what a beautiful way to prepare for Christmas. Because technically speaking, this course will end, the last Sunday will be December 17th, and Christmas is on a Sunday, I think, this year. So, perfect time. We finish on the 17th, which is the Sunday before Christmas. And then maybe that can be extended, in which after the course is formally over, you can go and revisit some of the chapters the following week and celebrate the happiest, the most joyful Christmas in your life. So my friends, I'm very happy, very enthusiastic about this new course on the Compendium of Marian Devotions. Very enthusiastic about this Compendium of Marian Devotions. How good God is. It's my friends, one of the purposes of this course is I want all of us, the Oblates have an emblem of Saint Maria Cogita, Maria Invoca, which is Latin for think about Mary, invoke Mary. My hope and my prayer is that by going through my course on the Compendium Marian Devotion, that all of us will get to know Mary better. We'll get to love Mary more. We will try to imitate Mary all the more. That we would invoke Mary. That we would invoke Mary and have recourse to Mary. And that Mary will bring us to Christ and we'll be able to live out what St. Paul says is no longer I who live. No longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. No longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. No longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. It's called the transformation. So, my friends, there we have it. So, continuing our conversation on Mary, today the Church celebrates a Marian feast day. It's a memorial. And today we celebrate the presentation of the Blessed Virgin Mary in the temple. I repeat, today we celebrate the presentation of the Blessed Virgin Mary in the temple. Now, I'd like to make a clarification. It's easy to make this mistake. For example, when I say the Immaculate Conception and the Virginal Conception, probably most Catholics do not differentiate between one and the other. The Immaculate Conception refers to Mary being conceived in the womb of Saint Anne, her mother, and the moment that Mary is conceived in the womb of Saint Anne, that God intervenes through a singular grace, thereby preserving Mary from the stain of original sin. That's called the Immaculate Conception. Now, the Virginal Conception now refers to Mary in the conception of Jesus. That came about the first joyful mystery, the Annunciation, which the angel Gabriel announces to Mary the good news that she will be the mother of God, and Mary gives her consent, her fiat, with these words, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord, be it done to me according to thy word." And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. So Mary was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, the Shekinah in Hebrew. And Mary conceived through the power of the Holy Spirit. So that's the Virginal Conception. So you have the Immaculate Conception, Mary conceived in the womb of St. Anne, the Virginal Conception, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ conceived in the womb of Mary. Now, we have another clarification. So we got the presentation. We have two different presentations. Two different presentations. Now, the two different presentations would be the presentation of Jesus in the temple and the presentation of Mary in the temple. Let's start with the former and then the latter. The presentation of Jesus in the temple is actually the fourth joyful mystery that you can read in Luke chapter 2, where Joseph and Mary go up to the temple, and 40 days after Jesus was born, he's presented in the temple. And the prophet Simeon, who's been waiting for this, And then he sees Christ in the arms of Mary, and he's aware of the fact that this is Lumen Gentium, the light to all the people. He takes Jesus in his arms and says, "Now, O Lord, you can let your servant go in peace, because my eyes have seen the light to all the people." So that is the presentation of Jesus in the temple, which we celebrate February 2nd every year. Presentation of Jesus in the temple. The fourth joyful mystery. Okay, now, making sure that there's no confusion, presentation of Jesus in the temple is February 2nd. November 21st every year is the presentation of Mary in the temple. So these are two different celebrations. There's a parallel between the two, but they're two different celebrations. The presentation of Jesus in the temple, there's ample biblical resources. As I said, if you go to Luke chapter 2, you have the long passage of Jesus in the arms of Joseph and Mary and being presented in the temple, and Simeon and Anna coming on the scene. Now, with the presentation of Mary, we have no biblical resources. That's right, we have no biblical resources in that. So no biblical resources in that. No biblical resources. Also, like just in passing, thanking Jeff Reyes for having posted for all of you a link to my talk yesterday on Facebook. Thank you very much, Jeff Reyes, for having posted that link so that you can easily go into it and review what I said yesterday. So if you didn't miss my talk yesterday, you can check it out on Facebook. And eventually that will be posted on YouTube. So I've got a couple of platforms. So returning to the presentation of Jesus, now moving to the presentation of Mary. Presentation of Mary. As said earlier, we have no biblical resources in this. However, the church has maintained, and that's why we have a liturgical celebration today, is Mary when she was a little child. We don't know her age, but according to tradition, Mary was just a small child. Her parents. And the church has given the name of the parents of Mary. And this is also extra biblical, but the church has given us the name of the parents of Mary. And they are Saint Anne and Saint Joachim. That's right, Saint Anne and Saint Joachim. According to tradition, Saint Anne and Saint Joachim, they were a couple that suffered a lot, a very pious Jewish couple that suffered a lot because they couldn't have children. But they prayed, and according to tradition, Saint Anne and Saint Joachim were very generous with God. They had certain economic resources or means at their disposition. And according to tradition, all that they possessed, they gave a third of what they had to the temple upkeep. Another third they gave to the poor. The last part they kept to themselves. Talk about generosity. When we tithe, we give 10%. Sometimes begrudgingly, right? Maybe with a little bit of resistance. Maybe we don't even do it. Let's be honest, no? Today we have the widow's mite. We hold on to our money with all of our might at times, huh? Today we have the widow's mite as a gospel, which this widow gives the little that she has. She's praised because she's giving all she has. And our Lord praises her because of her great generosity. So we have in the person of Anne and Joachim, kind of like the widow's mite in the sense that they're giving generously to the church as well as to the poor, and they hold on a third to them for themselves. So interpretation could be the fact that they were so generous with God. I repeat that they were just so very generous with God. Giving God so much that God in time, cannot be outdone in generosity. God always gives us more. I heard a commentary yesterday from St. Ambrose, commenting on the good thief. St. Ambrose says that whatever we ask God, he always gives us more than we ask. I like that. St. Ambrose says, whenever we ask God for something, he gives us more than what we ask. The good thief said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus not only remembered him, but said that he would be with him in paradise that very day. Our Lord gave him much more. God cannot be outdone in generosity, nor Mary. So the parents, Joachim and Anne, they're giving generously to the church or God, their temple. They're giving to the poor. And as a result of this great generosity, God gives to Anne and Joachim the greatest gift in the world. And that gift is a person. That person is the Blessed Virgin Mary. And from this person of Blessed Virgin Mary, a greater gift would come. And of course, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our Lady of Perpetual Help. Beautiful picture. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So they have Mary. According to tradition, Mary's born on September 8th. That's Mary's birthday. And that's, see the connection, December 8th is the Immaculate Conception. Count 9 months. And then you have September 8th, which is the birthday of Mary. So this feast day of the presentation of Mary in the temple, as we mentioned, it's extra-biblical, but the church maintains it, is that Anne and Joel come, they love their daughter very much, but recognizing that she would have a sublime mission in the church, they were not overly attached to her. So they gave her to God by giving her to the temple. We don't know the age. Some say 4 to 5 years of age. And even as a child, Mary wanted to give herself totally to God, whatever God wanted of Mary. Mary would give herself fully, totally, unreservedly to God in the economy of salvation. For the redemption of the world. Now, in the temple of Jerusalem, Mary was presented. What would have happened there? Well, we can only conjecture, and a few things that I would just like to highlight. First of all, Mary already, of course, had a deep gift of prayer, but she was probably taught to pray even more. And Mary would have been, they would have taught Mary how to read, teaching Mary how to read. In that picture I showed, you saw Mary reading, so that Mary could read sacred scripture. Mary could read sacred scripture, but also that Mary, especially Mary, could read the Psalms. And if you pray the Magnificat of Mary, it's like the most beautiful of all the Psalms, which came from the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So Mary learning how to read, going deeper in her prayer life, which is already deep, but going deeper and deeper in her prayer life, her love for God. She's probably also taught the whole rituals in the temple. Probably also taught how to mend and to sew, because eventually she's going to become a mother. Probably taught domestic chores. Maybe even she was taught how to cook, because she's going to be she'll be the mother of Jesus and the spouse of Saint Joseph, the art of cooking. And basically the art of service, learning how to serve. Mary, in her Annunciation, would say, I am the handmaid or the servant of the Lord. Be it done to me according to thy word. Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done to me according to thy word. So, my friends, there we have the presentation of Mary in the temple. We don't have any biblical resource. I was just giving you probably what would have happened when Mary was presented in the temple. I'd like to end with a conclusion. Why not renew our own consecration to Mary today? And as Mary was presented in the temple, let us, my friends, present our families, our children, our relatives, and our friends. Let's place them in the hands of Mary. As we see Jesus in the arms of Mary and Our Lady of Perpetual Help, let us place our children in the hands, in the heart of Mary. And may God bless you. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.